Let us open our Bible to chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In 2 days, we will be celebrating Lunar New Year. I don't wish all of us to have a vigilance and vibrance New Year. That in this New Year period, as we fellowship with our loved ones, that them also can experience the love of God to us. I'll be sharing for you from verse 25 to 33. This is the last portion of this course that Jesus was giving to his disciples. Jesus was about to be arrested and persecuted. And he was with the disciples in the upper room. And at this time, the disciples still did not realize that Jesus will be arrested. And they still have not realized that their beloved leader, their protectors, their provider will be separated from them. And they would face the formidable enemies themselves. They have not realized that this is going to happen. And Jesus told them that he shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. In verse 32. In chapter 13, when Jesus told the disciple that he will be persecuted, and Apostle Peter, who was very close with him, told him that I will lay down my life for thy sake. People was quite boastful at the point, but Jesus told him that you shall deny me 3 times before the cock crows. And indeed, when Jesus was arrested, tried, and Peter denied him. When the cock crow, Peter looked at Jesus and he felt so guilty. At the most critical time, he had denied Jesus Christ. So he wept bitterly for what he had done. And Jesus knew that this will come. He knew the disciples would run away for their lives, because they were very frightened. When they saw their leaders did not even put up a fight with the high priest and his soldier, they were frightened and ran away. So Jesus spoke to his disciples in this portion of the message. He wanted to encourage his people. Encourage his disciple. He want to restore them. And we want to remove their guilt from failing Jesus Christ, because their greater work for them. After Jesus died and resurrected, the new era will begin. And there's a time that he wanted his disciple to lift up the banner and progress with the work. So I entitled the message today as Be Strengthened in Christ. We can learn 4 points from this portion message. First point, Holy Spirit of it. John chapter 16, verse 25. Jesus, our bridge. Verse 26. God, our loving Father. Verse 27 to 28. And Jesus overcoming the world, our victory. In verse 29 to 33. Verse 25. This thing have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he always preached to the people using Proverbs. Proverbs are the local stories that everybody were very familiar with. And it was not offensive. So Jesus used it. So that he was not offensive. So that his ministry would not be disrupted. Though the Proverbs were simple to understand, the spiritual lesson behind it could not be understood by people who are not interested in the ministry of Jesus. But those who are seeking the truth, they learn much from the Proverbs which Jesus has told them. People like Nicodemus, Joseph Arimathea, the rich man, they were the people who were seeking after the truth. And God gave them the wisdom to understand the spiritual meaning behind the Proverbs that Jesus told them. So that Jesus used the Proverbs to teach the people who are seeking the truth, who are following him. But those who are against him did not understand the true spiritual lesson behind. Because Jesus, at the beginning of the ministry, could not tell them that he was God. People were persecuting him, and he could not accomplish his work on earth. But those who were seeking him, they knew, they learned. So Jesus told them, but now the time come when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. What do you mean by the time come? Now is the time, Jesus told the disciples. Jesus knew that his earthly ministry was ending very, very soon. And Jesus also told them that I will not leave you comfortless. John chapter 14, verse 18. That he will not leave them comfortless. In this word, comfortless, that means he will not leave them as orphaned. They will not be orphaned without guiding, without parents. Because Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit from the Father. Yes, Jesus will be leaving them. Seemingly, they will not have help. But Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter. John chapter 14, 16, Jesus also told them, the Comforter will abide with them forever. John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus prepared the heart of the disciples, that he would not be with them, but they will not be alone. The Holy Spirit will be with them. And what is the work of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you, to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So this Holy Spirit will come and will dwell with them, and he will teach them all things and bring them all things to remembrance. Whatever Jesus had taught them, the Holy Spirit will guide them, explain to them, and illuminate their eyes. They could understand what those things they might not understand when Jesus was on earth. But the Holy Spirit will live in them, will dwell in their heart, and will show them. And chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus continued to tell them that he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, but shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit that will be dwelling in them will not bring them new things. What he will show to the disciples were the things they already knew. They might not understand, they might not comprehend, but the Holy Spirit will show to them. They will understand what Jesus had taught them. And he, the Holy Spirit, will show them the thing to come. So the Holy Spirit will illumine them and give them understanding. So Jesus said, I shall not more speak unto you in Proverbs, because Jesus will be leaving them. By through the Holy Spirit, they shall know the Father plainly. They shall know God's word. That is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work. And later we can see that in the book of Acts, when the Pentecost, on the Pentecost day, when the Holy Spirit descend into the people, at the time, at the moment, Peter was able to stand up and preach the gospel and see how people comment about Apostle people. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been transformed by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was arrested, they were so frightened. They thought they become orphaned. Nobody would care for them. How could they face the high priest and his team of people? They were persecuted. They were frightened. But when Holy Spirit descended into them, they were transformed. They were empowered. They are so courageous to speak up for God. So the people said they were unlearned and ignorant men. How could they speak in this way? And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit empowered them, that they could say, we ought to obey God rather than men. So brilliant. The Holy Spirit is our aid. He's our teachers. He is our protectors. He is our leader. Though Jesus is not with us physically, he sent the Holy Spirit to us. He is in our heart. This was a message to the disciples. Fear not, because Holy Spirit is with you. Point two, Jesus, our bridge. Verse 26, at the day ye shall ask in my name, and I said no unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. In verse 23 and 24, Jesus told them, and in the day ye shall ask me nothing, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask, he shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. Hereto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Then why did Jesus tell the disciple that he shall ask in my name, and I say no unto you, that I will pray the Father for you? Why did Jesus say that I say no unto you, that I will pray the Father unto you? It means that I will not pray for you. Did Jesus mean that he would forsake them? What does Jesus mean? You see, in the Old Testament time, the Jews could not come to God personally. The Holy of the Holies was separated from the holy, from the people, by a curtain. Only the high priest, after cleansing their sin, they could come before the Holy of the Holies. So the people have to ask the high priest to plead to God on their behalf. So when David wanted to ask God whether he should mount the attack on the enemy, what did he do? He called the priests with the Urim and Thummim to pray to God. He could not approach God personally. Whoever who come to God personally will be killed. But on the day of persecution, when Jesus gave out his spirit, some strange thing happened. The view of the temple separated the Holy of the Holies from the people, was torn from the top to the bottom. The curtain that separates us from God has been removed. That through Jesus Christ, we can come before God. That we did not to have the intermediary, like the high priest in the old. We need not to talk to the high priest, ask the high priest to speak to God on our behalf. Now we can come before God. Before that, we were separated from God by the gulf of sin. Now Jesus Christ has become our bridge, that we can come before God alone. We can see God face to face. Jesus is our bridge to bridge us to God. So Jesus told the disciple, I say no unto you, that I pray the Father for you. Because now we can come before God and pray to God on our own because of the work our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He has opened the way for us that we can come before God and speak to Him. So He need not to speak on our behalf. We can speak to our God ourselves. Third point, God, our loving Father. Verse 27 and 28, for the Father himself loved you because he have loved me and have believed that I came out from God, I came forth from the Father, and then come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. For the Father himself loves you, because he hath loved me. How do we love our Lord Jesus Christ? John chapter 14, 21. Jesus told us this: he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that love me. And he that love me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he and will manifest myself to him. He that have my commandment and keep them. That everyone who loves Jesus Christ, everyone who proclaims Jesus Christ to be a Savior, learn of his word and keep them and practice them. So Jesus means that those who love him will do what he has commanded us to do. These are the people who truly believe in Jesus Christ and follow him. There are many people who say they are Christian and only come on Sunday. And even worse, they only come to church when they are born a baby and when they wept. And the last one, when they die. They call themselves Christian, but they are not a true follower of Christian. And only those who are truly Christ's follower, who understand his word, who live out his word, and these are people who love him. And they are the children of God. They will be loved of God. And when we love Jesus Christ, we follow his word, we do according to what he wants us to do, we are the children of God. And we call our God Abba Father. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And Apostle Paul explained to us very clearly. Chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the Son of God. Who are these people led by the Spirit of God? Who are led by the Holy Spirit and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We are the Son of God. Verse 15, second part. But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That because of the work of Jesus Christ, we can come before God and we call him Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit of God, the Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that is not proclaimed by ourselves. Holy Spirit be our witness that we are the children of God. And more importantly, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 17. You can see the relationship we have with God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we are not only the children of God, we are the heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Being the children of God and the heirs of God are totally different. You can be a children of your father and you are a children of your father, but you are not necessarily the heirs of your father. A children of father, you are the children of the Father. But the Father will not pass all he owns to you unless You are the heirs of the Father. Then you have the right to have a share of his inheritance. So you can see the difference between the children of the Father and the heirs of the Father. And the children of the Father is not necessarily the heirs of the Father, because the Father has his right to allocate his inheritance to anyone he likes. But now God told us that we are not only the children of the Father, of God the Father, we are the heirs of the Father, heirs of God. And we are co-heirs with Christ. So we can see the privileges we have. Whatever God have anointed for Christ, all the glory that God is going to give to Christ, we will have a share of it. And this is very significant, because our destiny has been fixed, has been ordained by God, and nobody can take it away. And Jesus Christ also told us in John chapter 14 verse 23, that he have returned to his Father for our purpose, to prepare a mansion for us, and he wants us to live with him. Chapter 14 verse 23, the last part of the verse, and make our abode with him. He said, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, that we will go to heaven to live with our Heavenly Father. So that is our blessed hope. So though this is speaking to the disciples, Jesus is speaking to you and me, that we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit in our heart to teach us, to lead us the way ahead, to protect us. And we are the privileged one, that we can come before the Creator, God of this universe. We can speak to him face to face. And we are his children. We are the heirs of this, the Creator of this universe. So why should we to be so fearsome? Why should we be so worried of the thing to come? We must live our lives victoriously, because our backing is the Creator of this universe, that we can call him Abba, Father. The fourth point, Jesus overcome the world. Verse 29 and 30, his disciples say unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest not proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. The disciples profess their faith in Christ, and knowing that Jesus Christ was God. And Jesus also confirmed that they know that they knew that Jesus was God. John chapter 17, verse 8. This was what Jesus prayed unto God. He said, for I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So from here we know that disciples knew at the point Jesus was God, Jesus was divine. But the question is, Then, why did they run away when Jesus was persecuted? And Jesus asked the disciple, do ye now believe? It's not that Jesus did not know that or doubt that they did not believe. Jesus knew. But he wanted to reinforce in their heart, now do you now believe? To believe in our head that Jesus is our Savior is one thing. And to practice in our heart that Jesus is our Savior is separate thing. And this is the point Jesus was trying to tell the disciples. Do you truly believe that I am God? If they truly believe in your heart that Jesus was God, they should not fear the people. They should not fear the high priest. So were their heart transformed? So likewise, this question Jesus is asking us, do you really believe Jesus is your God? Jesus is your Savior? Have our life been transformed when we call Jesus to be our Savior? And this is a question we must always ask ourselves. And this is called experiential faith. He said, people of old, like Joseph and Daniel, we knew their life, up and down. And many of times, they were in great dangers of being persecuted. Daniel was thrown into the dens of lions. And Joseph was nearly killed by his brother. But Bible told us that they never sinned because they truly believe God is their Lord and they trust in Him. And Jesus knew the people, knew His disciples very well. So He told them in verse 32 and 33, He said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and he shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. This thing I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus was preparing his disciples. When we are very boastful, but if we did not live out what we claim, just like Peter, he told Jesus, I will go with you. I will sacrifice my life for you. At the critical moment, he failed Jesus. He denied him 3 times. And he realized that he wept very bitterly because he had failed Jesus. And Jesus knew that when he will be arrested, the people will run away. Jesus told him, and indeed, when he was taken away by the high priest, all the people ran away. And how would these people think? Of course, they feel very sad and regretful. But Jesus knew them. Jesus wanted them to build up, wanted to build them up. Jesus did not want them to feel that they have come to end the world, they feel their Lord, and sink down spirally. Jesus wanted to lift them up, to build them up, to continue with a new era, the New Testament, the work Jesus had left for them. So he told them, that I am not alone because the Father is with me. Yes, you have left me, but I am not alone. You have been overwhelmed by the fear of the high priest. He forsaken me, but I was not alone. My Father is with me. To encourage them, even at the moment, our Lord Jesus Christ was not alone. That to give them some comfort. And Jesus told them what will be coming. 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. That all the things I have told you, that you will run away, you will be frightened. But I told you, in the world you shall have tribulation, that you will face persecution. You will fear. You will scared. But I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Not to be discouraged. I have overcome the world. Is it for us? We can understand quite easily because we are very blessed. We have whole scriptures. We know what has happened, what to come. But put our shoe in the life of disciples, they are unlearned. They did not know what to come. And they empower after the Holy Spirit descend into them. So at a point, you understand that they will be very frightened. And they did not know, though Jesus told them, and they still have not really believed that Jesus will resurrect. So this is a word to encourage the people, so that when Jesus was persecuted, died, buried, on the third day he was resurrected, then the disciples will understand what Jesus had told them earlier. And now Jesus said, I have overcome the world. What is the worst thing in the world? Death. So on the day of resurrection, they realize Jesus is truly God. The worst enemy in the world could not contain Jesus. So when the Pentecost came, the people, his disciples, were empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why Peter could stand up straight away and proclaim the gospel. And he could tell them and declare to them that we ought to obey God rather than man. And now they realize that Jesus has overcome the world. There's nothing to fear. So from this portion of message, Jesus was discouraging his disciples. He was preparing his disciples that thing to come, he'll frighten you, but I have overcome the world. And you are not alone. The Holy Spirit will be with you and show you all things, will empower you. And now you are the children of God. The God, the Creator, is your Father. And we call him Abba Father. He was no more the judge, the righteous judge before them. And now we can come before God and call him Abba Father. Unlike before, that if they did not follow the procedure, even they missed a step, they could be killed. God was absent in front of them. But now, while God is awesome, but God is also a loving Father, that they could come before him and speak to him because of the work Jesus Christ had done. And what can we learn from this portion of message? It is not only for the disciples, It is for you and me. That Jesus has overcome the world. Nothing in this world can restrain him. Nothing in this world can restrain us. And we are the children of God. And not only children of God, we are the heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So if God be with us, who can be against us? But why sometimes we are so discouraged? Knowing that our God is our Father. We call him Abba Father. Why are we discouraged? Many of times we forget that God is our Father. We are overwhelmed by the situation we are in. We are worried, think we're going to lose because we are not living up to the expectation of the world. We worry we're going to lose our job. We worry about the pandemic. We worry that when we contract COVID-19, we'll die. We are worried. And when we're worried, we look inward. How can I defend myself? How can I protect myself? Everything is self, self, self. And we forgot. And we forget that this world is not a place we're going to dwell in forever. We forget. We have a loving Father who is waiting for us in heaven, a better place. So in this new year to come, let us learn. Let us be familiar with our God. Why I say so? Because just like the disciple, they knew Jesus was God, but in their head, come to the night of arrest, they suddenly realized they were in the world. The world was controlled by the high priest. Suddenly they become frightened. They are afraid they'll be arrested. Peter was so afraid. I don't know him. Who is he? Even the younger say, you are from Galilee, he was with him. No, I don't know him. Why did he do that? Because he was so frightened to lose his life. And only way is to know our God personally, intimately, and pray that God will not give us too many trouble to know him. Our God is gracious. He does not want to inflict everyone into trouble. Then when we live our life to pray to a witch end, don't know what to do, then you start to cry to God. This is not the way God wants us to be. I know many people come to know God through this avenue. I will listen to the lot of testimony, this station from the Taiwan. There are many people come to end away, don't know where to go anymore. I pray to so many so-called gods. Okay, let me try the last one. Jesus Christ. And then they come to know God. But God does not want us to go through all this. God give us his word. God give us his Bible. That he want us to know him. So let us resolve in this year, study his word, meditate in his word. What God has done in the past, how God deal with his people in the past. Our God is the same. In the past, now, and the future. He has never changed. He is always with us. He is always with us. It's only you and me choose not to be with him. Anytime we have problem, we look into ourselves. We forget to look up to God. He is there waiting for us to call him. Because when we call him, when we submit to him, we will listen to his word. So for this portion of message, I learned that God is always with us. He wants us to be with Him, and for us to be with Him, to know His word, to know Him, and get very close to Him. So if you have any trouble, you think that God is not with you, this is wrong. That's why we come before Him, ask Him to humble our heart, look in unto Him, and He will deliver us. And you will see how close our God is with you. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank Thee for this portion of Thy Scriptures. Indeed, Lord, Thou hast reminded us that we are not alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. He is dwelling in our heart. But many of times we ignore His calling. We always quench the Spirit living in our heart, and we live our life miserably. Father, we pray that in this new year, let us resolve to love Thy word. Whenever we open the Scripture, we pray the Holy Spirit will illuminate us, will teach us Thy word, that we, through Thy word, we can come close to Thee, experience Thy presence with us, and that we will understand Thy word and live out our lives according to Thy word. Lord, we pray that Thou will bless us richly in the new year, and use us also to bless others that we come associate with. Father, we give thanks for what Thou hast done for us. We give thanks for Thy word. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.